Welcome back to Season 3 of the Sex Life Unleashed podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen DeWitt, and this season, we're going to be doing a deep dive on what it takes to remove the taboo that's been there for too long. We're going to strive to normalize these conversations and seek out those places where these conversations can be so helpful and transformative. We're going to rethink kink and everything that comes along with it. Let's go. This episode, I'm answering all your questions and talking about getting your sex life back on track and feeling those sparks with your partner again. We're going to be exploring the best tactics to address turnoffs when it's a turn-on for your partner, how to navigate pornography and the potential effects it could have on you, and how to reconnect with yourself and your sex life after it's been suppressed for so many years. So if you're ready to get your groove back, then you've come to the right place. I'm sharing the insight and advice you need to make that happen. So grab a seat because it's time to get your sexy back. And if you have questions that you want to submit, click the link in the show notes. Let me know your questions and I will answer them on a future episode. Also, if you want your questions answered real time, I'm doing a Valentine's Day special. So 1 hour for you as an individual or for you and a partner to ask all those questions. It's called the Taboo Breakthrough. Do not keep those questions and those conversations silent any longer. This is going to be a 1 hour one-on-one session with me, and it's going to be at a highly reduced rate. So you can click on the link below and find out more information about the Taboo Breakthrough for you and your partner. Or, hey, if you want, I had some people who are having a girls' night, and they're going to get a bunch of wine and sushi, and then they bought the hour, and so their girlfriend's going to get together and ask me all the questions about sex. So that could be something where I can provide my brain and my mind to everything that you want to know about sex. But let's jump in to our first question. And our first question is, what if I'm not feeling turned on by my partner? So this is a really great question. And I would assert most people in relationships at particular times in their relationship, they're not going to feel super turned on, super lit up, super excited, super sexual about their partner. Like, it's just this ebb and flow of humanity, right? We deal with so much in our lives, but we have this like expectation that it's always got to be like this great sex and it's always getting better and always getting better and always getting better. And guess what? If you're not doing the work, or if you're a normal human being and go through, you know, stressful times or difficult times or maybe challenging times inside of your relationship, then it's completely normal to not be super attracted to your partner at a particular time. So if you're not feeling turned on by your partner, I would always encourage you to, like, first of all, do some inner work for yourself before you like start having those conversations with your partner, because you want to find out like what's actually going on for you. So if you're not turned on to your partner, like the easiest question to start asking is why and when. And those two things usually start to kind of pull apart some answers for you. So if you were turned on by your partner, I hope, and I'm making a lot of assumptions because this is the only question that I have, right? If you were turned on by your partner and then it started to fade away or it turned off, what happened around that time? What was going on for you? What was going on inside of the relationship? And usually there are some instances that you can pinpoint to be like, oh yeah, they said this, or we got in a fight this way, or they found this out about me, or whatever that situation is. And it just slowly starts kind of eating kind of like at the back of your mind, you know? And when you're thinking about having sex with them, you're like, oh, there's this unresolved stuff that's underneath it. So, you know, sex is something when we are aligned with our partner, when we are feeling good, when we are feeling turned on, it's a beautiful, fun thing. But you know, there are conflicts, there are struggles that take place. So I do some writing about when this stopped and when things changed and why. Like, what were the things that were shifting inside of your relationship that had you kind of not really feeling turned on or aroused by your partner? And it's less, I would think, about maybe some people will be like, oh, like the surface level things, like how they look or positions or, you know, orgasms or that kind of stuff. It's usually layers below that. What I always like to say is sex happens between your ears, before it happens between your legs. So what's going on in your mind that has you be like, I'm kind of losing attraction? Get to the source of that. And if you're committed to that partnership, if you're committed to that relationship, start resolving some of that stuff. So that'd be the first thing that I'd say to that one, not knowing a ton of what you're dealing with. Another question that I have is, how do you support men who have performance anxiety? So how do you support penis owners who have performance anxiety? Listen, my phone rings at least once a month from someone that I know. So not necessarily a client, but someone who owns a penis and is like, oh my God, Stephen, last night I was having sex and this has never happened before. It's never happened before, but I couldn't get hard, or it was hard and then I lost my erection. Like, what do? I need to figure out what's going on. So what you could do to support a partner is, first of all, normalize it. It happens to everybody. I'm a penis owner. It happens to me. Okay. So it's just a normal part of owning a penis. There's nothing that's like broken. There's nothing that necessarily has, you know, like medical things going on that you need to be worried about. But again, sex happens is when you're like feeling good. You're in that like fun space. You're relaxed. You're just like, I'm feeling good about stuff, feel good about myself, feeling good about like having sex and being in that like sexually like powerful place, like being like an erotic leader in your life, right? I think that is so important. You know, the most important sexual relationship you have with yourself, the most important sexual relationship you'll have in your life is the one that you have with yourself. But when that's not there, and you're worried like, oh my God, is my penis going to do the thing that I want it to do? How do I do this? Is it going to show up? Is it, what happens if it goes soft? What are they going to think about me? Like, I'm not like a good lover. I'm not a manly enough, or all this other kind of stuff. Because a lot of, I'm going to speak on behalf of men, a lot of our identity and our sexual power lies with what's between our legs. How big is it? What does it look like? How long can it last? How many orgasms? You know, all this other kind of stuff. How hard is it? You know, there's all these metrics that we've grown up and conditioned to like, hey, it has to look like this. And this is what's right. And this is what's, you know, not right. So supporting someone, so having said all that, supporting someone or a partner who has performance anxiety is prioritizing comfort rather than performance. So what that often looks like is with a partner, just be like, hey, listen, a penis can be an amazing part of a sexual connection. It doesn't have to be anything more than that. It's not the be all end all. It's not like touchdown, like the P and the V or the P and the A. That's like the penetrative sex. That's what it is. Like, nah, it could be super chill about it. You could be like, let's have a super hot sexy time that doesn't involve having a hard penis. Like, just take it out of the equation. Just be like, whoop, I'm going to hang that up on the wall right over there. And we're not going to take it down tonight or today or for the next week or the next 3 weeks. And when you can remove that like part, that variable from the equation, it's like, oh, that's super cool. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about it. And when you're not worried about it, then things just kind of occur because they're comfortable. They're not focused on that. The other thing that I would offer is diversifying your sexual repertoire. So looking at different ways that you connect and bring pleasure to each other and have super hot, erotic, creative times together, maybe kinky times together, that don't involve, you know, a hard penis and that realm of things. So I hope that's helpful, because I know, and again, it's something that we have, it occurs to all men, but when we get up in our head about it and we're thinking about it all the time, we get ourselves out of our body. So those would be the three things, just normalize it and just like, hey, be like, hey, let's play, but it doesn't have to do with like your penis being rock hard. And then diversify how you guys get down, how you connect sexually, right? So explore new things, explore kinky things, like have a lot of fun, but it's not this like penis centric kind of focus, right? Hope that's helpful. All right. What do we have here? Okay, I haven't had sex in 3 years. I've lost my sexual, been in healing mode, dead down there. Okay. So there's a couple layers to that. So haven't had sex in 3 years. That's cool. You've been prioritizing your healing. I hope that you are healing and that you are on that journey of taking care of yourself, because, you know, there are times in our lives where our sex lives are not a priority. You know, we're dealing with an injury, an illness, a disease, something, a diagnosis, and we need to prioritize our health. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to hit pause and focus on the more important things in our lives. I've lost my sexual desires. So that's an interesting one. So, you know, the question behind that statement is, how do we reconnect with our sexual desires? How do we, you know, feel good and start feeling sexy or start feeling sexual again? So again, I begin with some inner work, right? Do some writing about, hey, what were the things that did get me going? What were the things that did turn me on? What were the things that made me feel alive down there? Right? Like, those are really important places to start. And it doesn't have to be like with a partner at this time. Again, the most important sexual relationship is the one that you have with yourself. So start discovering some of those things for yourself. You know, start exploring erotica. Right. And when I say erotica, most people think about porn. But one of the things that has become really, really popular is like audio erotica. So people sharing stories and you're just hearing their voices. And there are some like, ooh, heavenly voices out there. I know that's really popular, especially with a lot of women that I talk to as well. But getting in touch with yourself sexually. So exploring self-pleasure, solo sex, masturbation. Right? Like that realm of things of like figuring out what feels good for you. You know, carving at that out that time. If you don't have any pleasure products, like, I don't know, vibrators or dildos or fleshlights or whatever in your repertoire, invest in some of those. They are amazing. And it doesn't have to break the bank. There are some like super high-end ones that are really fun and really beautiful to explore and play with, but it doesn't have to. Like, you could go on Amazon. You want to make sure that they're silicone-based, or they're not just like rubber-based, because they have phthalates in them. And that's not something that you want in your skin or in your body in any way, shape, or form. But start exploring, start connecting with yourself. Even if you're like, hey, like, it's dead down there. I've lost all my sexual desire. Sometimes it's just carving out that time, carving out that private place, create the environment, create the ambiance that, you know, really resonates with you. I don't know if you want to like put on some cool music, like play with the senses, right? So, you know, you're hearing. So play with the senses. If you have some essential oils or aromatherapy, you know, the sense of smell, dim the lights, light candles, and then just like make time for yourself. Another thing is, if you're a vagina and a vulva owner, like, and like you said, you're like, I've lost all the sexual desire, I feel dead down there, is explore just investing in some lube. So you may not naturally be lubricating because you're not in that super hot, sexy place, but, you know, if you get some of that external lube, that can kind of help grease the wheel. Does that sound? That's a little crude, but you get the thing. It like helps get things going and that realm of things. So that's what I would offer you, but really great question. Okay, where else? We got some more questions here. Oh, sexless marriage, nothing helps, sucks. That's more of a statement than a question, but I will talk about it, because I do think there are people who are in relationships or who are married and they're not having the amount of sex that they want, or there's a disconnect with what their partner wants and what they want. And again, it's normal. We all have a unique sexual fingerprint. We come with our own sex drive and our own sexual ambition, if you will, right? And that can be often different from our partners. A sexless marriage, by definition, is, and this is by definition, whatever you want to call it, I always like to empower the individual. But the technical term or definition for sexless marriage is having sex less than 12 times a year, like once a month, is in the realm of sexless marriage. Now, some people would be like, hey, once a month is perfect for me and my partner. And I'm like, high five, you rule. Some people are like, hey, sexless is like, I haven't had any sex with my partner for a year. Like, we haven't been sexual at all, not once. And that's what a sexless marriage. So 12 times a year or less is the clinical definition of a sexless marriage. So, and then it says nothing helps and it sucks. I'd be curious to find out what you have tried and what you've looked at exploring. So it, rather than saying nothing helps, it's like the things that I have tried thus far haven't worked. But there's, I promise you, if you be like, send me a message, I'm happy to talk to you. There, I could give you a dozen things that you haven't tried. Now, if we rewind a little bit and look at if you are in that place and you are in a sexless relationship, you know, the first thing that you need to evaluate is this a priority and is this important? There are people, sex is not important in their relationship and or their marriage. Cool. If you're happy, if you love that person, fucking rock on. People ask me, they're like, oh my God, Stephen, you're a sexologist. Sex must be the most important thing in a relationship. I'm like, no, it's an aspect of it. There's people who are asexual and like sex is not, you know, part of their realm. That's not something that they're interested in. And they find a partner where that works for their partner, or they create something where, you know, their partner has a tertiary partner where they can connect sexually as well. That's different from their primary partner. It's like whatever works for you. It doesn't have to look like a particular way. So first of all, you got to sit down and be like, hey, is this a priority for me? If that answer is yes, cool. Then you got to ask yourself, am I willing to do the work? And if that answer is yes, cool. Next, you need to talk to your partner and ask them, hey, is this a priority for you? And are you willing to do the work? Now, if their answer is no, you want to press them and you want to ask why. And get curious. Curiosity is the most powerful tool that you have when it comes to creating an amazing sex life with your partner or your partners. Getting really curious and not coming from, when you have these conversations, not coming from a accusatory or demanding or angry place, just get really curious. Something happens somewhere inside of your relationship, or something happens somewhere inside of your development and their development, and you've reached this kind of threshold where it's broken. And to be able to do the work and to repair and to have the amount of sex that you want in your relationship, it takes having those conversations. It takes working through those things. And I promise you, there are a dozen things, if you reach out to me, that I could give you that you haven't tried. And obviously working with, you know, a sexologist, someone like myself, that's something I could support you with as well, because I do see clients privately. Okay, so next question. Okay. Oh, this is an awesome one. Is it true that a woman who has dimples above her ass can have explosive orgasms? Maybe, but there is no correlation or causation between dimples. So I guess if you see like a woman from the back and just above her like hip bones or whatever, she has those like little dimples. There's no, you know, studies or relationship between that and explosive orgasms. Bodies and orgasms show up in many, many different ways. And there's no like, hey, if you have this, then you have explosive orgasms. Now, what I say maybe is like, maybe you've had a partner, or maybe you've had two partners or three partners that have these dimples, and you're like, oh, they all have explosive orgasms, which I don't know what explosive means. Like, is it really loud? Is it really long? Do they squirt? I don't know what you mean by that. And so, you know, that would be what we call anecdotal, right? It's your lived experience, which is your truth. But like, if we look at the vast expanse of humanity and bodies and women with dimples, there's no evidence that says there's any kind of relationship in that. But, you know, interesting question. Thank you for asking. Okay. If my partner is really into something that is actively a turnoff for me, how would I approach the situation? I don't want to deny them that aspect of this sexuality, but I find it really hard to enjoy sex when it comes into the bedroom. Okay, so really cool. There's a disconnect between, hey, this is something that your partner really likes, and this is something that is a big turnoff for you. Really simply is just like have some conversations with them about it, about like, hey, this isn't my jam. And because, you know, I love you and I'm committed to our relationship, you know, these are the times or the situations that I'd be comfortable exploring that with you. So it looked like, you know, maybe on your birthday, or maybe when we're celebrating something, or maybe when we're on holidays. Really cool. And then I would go, so that's like really surface level. And I always like to go a couple levels deeper, because that's where I think real transformation happens. So you want to look at it from a point of view where get curious and be like, why is that a turn on for me? Where does that come from? Because when you start like seeking to understand someone and how their sexuality is created and what their turn ons and where that comes from, sometimes you can pull it apart a little bit and be like, okay, you like, I don't know, I'm going to say spanking. They want to spank you. And you're like, oh, hell to the no, that's not something that I'm comfortable with. Right. Because like, it reminds me of like, I don't know, when I was a kid, that's how I got disciplined. And I don't want to think about my parents disciplining me when I'm having sex and turned on. Right. It's a trigger for me. I'm out of there. You know, it's not something that is hot for me. But getting curious about like, why is it that spanking is a turn on for you? And what do you like about it? And where does that turn on come from? And you're getting really curious about it. And you can be like, oh, well, I like being like feeling like in control and powerful. And I like the sound of it. And it feels really good on, you know, for me to like feel that like impact when I'm like spanking you. Cool. So like, okay, well, what other things? It could be as simple as like, okay, so you like that. I don't like, you know, feeling that hand on my butt, but like maybe there's something else, right? Maybe there's like a paddle or a flogger or a riding crop or something that works. And you're like, oh, that's cool. That works because my parents didn't, that's not how I was disciplined. So it's not going to take me into that non-sexual place. And sure, let's try using, I don't know, go in the kitchen, like a charcuterie board or like whatever you have there, like maybe a belt, maybe that would be like really hot. And again, when you're using different implements for impact play, you want to start really slowly and you want to check in with your partner, right? So you want to like, you know, start, I always like, you know, start with yourself first. So you know how it feels, and then you want to do it to them. And then say between 1 and 10 of intensity, 10 being like super intense and 1 being nothing, where was that? And they'll be like, oh, it's a 2. And you say, what would you like to experience today? And they'll be like a 7. So now you have a metrics to be able to play with. Anyways, we're getting into impact play, and that could be something that is different. So I just want to be responsible for the time. We got time for like 2 more questions. Hey, Stephen, have a question about sex. What are your thoughts on pornography and its effects on sexual performance? So interesting question. Porn is something that's great if it is used correctly. Now, when I say correctly, I don't believe that porn should be the default sex education that people grow up learning and thinking that this is sex and this is what it should be, right? It is entertainment. It's titillation. It helps you when you're masturbating and bringing pleasure to yourself. That's cool. Fill your boots. Have fun with that. But it is entertainment value. It's designed to like titillate the little parts of your brain. And so it's fun, you know, doing it as, you know, adults or even incorporating that into your lovemaking is cool. Having that be the default of like, this is, you know, you're not having conversations, your kids are learning this and all it is porn. There can be some detrimental effects inside of that about like lack of communication with your partner, like inaccurate depictions of the human body, of pleasure. A lot of porn is created through the male gaze. It can cause a lot of challenges that way. But if you're interested in porn, you find it, it's fun, it's exciting, you watch it. But that's all it is. It's a fantasy world, right? We don't watch movies and then expect that to be a depiction of like real life, right? So what did I say? Oh, there's like a new Mission Impossible coming out or something like that. We don't watch that and be like, oh, that's Tom Cruise like on a motorcycle, jumping off a cliff, like into a plane and being like, oh, if I'm a spy, that's what I'm going to be doing. Right? It's fantasy. We like, oh, that's cool. It like tickles parts of our brain. It entertains us. The same thing with porn. Now, if that is the situation that you're in and you have kind of grown up with that, and that has been your default education around sex, and that is getting in the way of your sexual performance, then again, there's work to do. And working with, you know, a counselor, a therapist, and being able to deconstruct some of those patterns and habits that you have about your arousal, how you get turned on, what you think sex is, feeling connected with your partner, having that deep level of connection and communication with your partner. All those are the kind of good things can make things a lot better. So I hope that helps. All right, we got time for one more question before we wrap this up. So it says, male perspective here. I came from a marriage that after a child was conceived was sexless. Stayed until the kid finished high school, even though I was very unhappy. Now back in the dating game, I'm so sexually repressed. I finally have my freedom, but I'm finding it hard to have sex again after years of suppressing my natural sexual desires. Any suggestions? Yes, reach out to me. Let's have a call. I'm going to give you my thoughts but we're just going to scratch the surface tonight. So when you've spent so much time suppressing your sexual desires, needs, that kind of stuff, it's kind of awesome. And what I mean by that is like me, because I've worked with so many people who have been able to overcome this. I know what's on the other side. So it's like a freaking volcano that's building up pressure. And when you're able to like, what the F, and just let all that stuff go, it's really, really important. What I would do, again, do some of that inner work, do some writing, and think about a couple things. Are there any times where you feel sexual or you feel sexy or you feel turned on? Anytime. Walking throughout your week, is there any time during that week? Is there any type of erotica that you enjoy that turns you on, right? We want to start building the relationship you have with your sexual relationship you have with yourself first, and healing that relationship with sex before you're trying to like go out there and date and like have sex with other people. There's work for you to do. But the potential of what's there on the other side of that is enormous. So do some of that writing. And then also do some of the writing of like, answer the questions like, what are the top three reasons why I'm stuck? And get detailed. Get detailed. Go deep. Write about, I guess your ex and what happened in your sex life and how you feel. Like starting to get in touch with some of that stuff. In my experience, we operate on this level. We got to go through life. We put our armor up, go to work. We got to be parents. We got to show up. We got to play softball. We got to whatever. We're on our gaming league, whatever you got to do. But it's important to take off that armor sometimes when you're in a safe space and you're by yourself to start unpacking some of that. Because, I don't know, it doesn't say exactly how long you were together, but it was years, right? Kid finished high school. So, you're together for 18 years at least. There's some stuff to unpack. But there is great potential for you to start moving through that. Fast forwarding, once you've done some work and you've talked with, a professional, worked through some of that stuff and let some of that stuff go, it's finding a partner that you can be honest with and just be like, hey, I'm kind of like reemerging and re-exploring this part of myself, and just be authentic. You don't have to go out and be like, I am queen, king of sex, and I have it all figured out, and I'm a great lover, and I have to blah, 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 blah. No. You're figuring out how to get on that bicycle again. You're starting out with some training wheels. It's okay. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're in your 60s, in your 70s, in your 80s. I don't care. There's never a bad time to start reconnecting with your sex life and start making that a priority for yourself. And it takes work, and it's okay. We've often been conditioned that, if it should be like easy and should always flow. And if you're like really good at it, it's just this like thing that happens. No, we are complex things and it takes work. So reach out. Happy to talk more to you about that. And that brings this week's episode to an end. Join me again in 2 weeks on Tuesday, where the next episode is going to be coming your way. If you got value from today, please leave a comment. Please share with your friends. And if you want your questions answered, please click the link in the show notes below. And if you want a one-on-one session with me, face-to-face over Zoom, you can book that as well with the Taboo Breakthrough. There's a special going on right now, so click on that link. And remember, the more we understand about ourselves and each other, the less we have to fear, the more love is here. So here's to happy days and living a sex life unleashed.